present a pontoon boat driven by my buddy Mike. We're fishing out on the basin for alligator walleye pike. Emo brought his TV and Rowdy's beagle Fred. He's too old to drive a rabbit, so he comes fishing with us instead. We got lawn chairs, a poker table, an ice cold keg of beer. We're loaded down with so much stuff, Mike can hardly steer.
Hey, what's up, Rooster?
When you present a pontoon boat, fishing from Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working, and the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Mooch is showing dirty shirt the proper way to cast.
Okay, now with Dioper there, yeah, they go on their website, you can buy that song, along with a whole bunch of other stuff. They got the world's largest outhouse collection. They're up on US 41 on the exact same road as Fish and Frank's. If you go out from our store, you make a left and go about 2,000 miles on 41, and you'll eventually end up at Dioper's place.
But that's weird.
It is weird. They're up in the Upper Peninsula, Michigan, and on the same road as us.
That's funny.
Mm-hmm. Go out of their place. I don't know if you take a left or right. I don't know what side of the road they're on. But turn there and then turn into our store. You know, other than that, stay on 41. All right. Okay, we've got Area Fishing Report. And I don't know what's going on. You know, I didn't check the Peace River. We always start up in the Peace River. Where PC Solutions of Arcadia, they're slammed. This guy's good. Him and his wife, nice people, do good work. We've got him working on one of our computers right now. And Robert, the flood stage on this says 11 feet is flood stage in Arcadia. I always thought it was 12, but I guess it's 11. It's finally below 11 feet in Arcadia.
Finally?
Finally below. It's 10 and a half feet in Arcadia right now. Boy, that was a long time
coming
there.
Let's see
what
it looks like in the next 2 days, though, with some of this stuff that's coming through.
Yeah, let's see if it does come up. I don't know.
Just what they didn't need.
Yeah, well, we need it.
No, I agree with you.
7 foot is flood stage on the Myakka, and they're down to 6.5. They were way up above that, so at least now we know 7 foot's flood stage in the Myakka.
There you go.
And they're finally below flood stage in America, too. PC Solutions of Arcadia. Give them a call, 863-491-0497. Nice folks. I mean, when they first talked about advertising, I didn't really know anything about them. And just, he listened to the thing and wanted to buy an ad and all that. And I said, okay, you know, we'll check it out. But got to know him a little bit. Talked to him on the phone several times. His wife came in to pick up the computer, and yeah, good sponsor. So anyway, what's going on in Peace River?
Crickets. I've heard of some juvenile tarpon up there around the Navigator and up towards the water treatment plant, but I haven't heard of anyone catching any of them.
All right, if you're wondering where those are, I just put up a page with the water treatment plant on it. I marked off where we're talking about, where I catch fish up there. You'll see the yellow dots. And the ones on the bend of the river, that's more of the tarpon spot. When you get up in and it kind of makes a little crook and starts heading, you're going to see a thing on the end. That's actually where they draw the drinking water out. Right on that curve on that shoreline is some pretty good snook fishing. That's historically where I've done the best snook fishing there. I got another spot, not just a little bit upriver. I'm going to combine that and the 761 bridge on another page. But that's actually, I do pretty good on snook up there.
Well, there you go.
But it's just a little section of the river. Okay, so we're going to put in possible tarpon.
Yeah.
I don't know of anything else up there.
No, it's
so,
been pretty quiet, unfortunately.
All right, K's, Ponger K's Grady, funeral home and cremation services, and they have all the stuff you're going to need when these times come around. You know, it happens to all of us eventually. The ones who are smart actually take care of it, have everything planned out. I know what I want. I want a cardboard box and as cheap a bag as I can get. I mean, yeah, I keep telling people, don't spend any money on me when I'm gone. I'm gone. I don't care. You can put me in a gold casket or a paper bag. What's the difference? I don't even gonna know. But, you know, for those of you who actually have loved ones that are appreciated, like me, you know what I mean? I mean, nobody wants to be like me. People want to be like Mike. Never heard anybody go, I'm going to be like Frank. Nah. All right, but they'll help you out. When times are bad, they're nice folks to deal with. We got some of the guys that come in here all the time. And so, yeah, good people, nice. All right. Let's see. This is I-75, that area around there, anything?
There has been a lot more juvenile tarpon rolling around in that vicinity. And then I've heard of a couple of them have been hooked up, but been really tough getting them to chew. And then there's also been a handful of black drum being caught from some of those docks right over there by the Elks and right along that shoreline over there. A couple guys have been catching the smaller size black drum. So it's a little bit of activity. Not gangbusters, but a little bit of activity. They said they're starting to see a few more mullet rolling around. They're starting to hear a couple more snook in the last couple days popping along the mangroves. So activity is starting to pick up.
All right, north end of the bridge at the Power Pole Park, anything?
Been some juvenile tarpon there. One little redfish that a guy caught the other day. And that's it. It's been kind of quiet this past several days over there. You know, the tarpon were rolling all around between the actual bridges and over to the power lines. And he said he even saw them going in towards the bay, heading over there towards the condos.
Yeah, that little inlet there?
Yeah.
Man, I used to tear the snook up over there.
Yeah, he said he saw just little tarpon rolling everywhere in there. He said it was just neat watching it. So it was frustrating, but he said it was still too cool.
I think you're really going to have to... I think it's a terrorized thing. I'm going to bet it's terrorized.
Yeah, I don't know. It's been tricky. Guys have been throwing the terrorized, the little tiny, tiny swim baits, even them little two-inchers.
Right.
And still having a tricky time. I think Bob needs to bang them on the head.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know what to say. Lashley Pier.
A couple of little tiny snook. That's the only thing I've heard about there. A little on the quiet side. Guys are seeing the Mayan cichlids down by the boat ramp there inside the marina basin.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, it stands to reason. It'd be really fresh in there. I mean,
yeah.
Hit the wrong thing there. Well, that's fine. Bayshore Pier, which is sponsored by Centennial Bank, our friends, neighbors, great people to deal with. If you're thinking about moving down to Florida, you need a bank here to deal with in Florida. You want to try these guys. Or if, like most banks, they've made you so mad you can't see straight because you're talking to them and nobody knows what they're doing or what's going on, try Centennial. There you'll see a difference. Banks I dealt with for years that were great, and then all of a sudden they go through these policy changes. I mean, I've been so many banks over the years, but Centennial for right now is the bomb. It's the one to be with. Okay, Bayshore Pier. Anything?
A lot of juvenile tarpon rolling around. Same scenario. A couple guys have hooked two snook, legal size actually, off of Bayshore, what I would consider, I guess, the northern side, closer to the 41 bridge. And then there's been, darn it, I got a tickle in my throat, it's killing me. The little baby bull sharks, a couple guys have hooked into those. Well, they all think they're black tips until they show you a picture of them and you kind of describe it, show them how to tell the difference, and then they're good with it.
Okay, if you were going to describe the difference, what would it be?
Most of the time you have to look really closely at the nose. Because they have a distinct, you know, little 3-foot bull shark has black tips on its fins. You know, you just got to get a closer look at the nose. And those juveniles, their nose is still kind of pointy, but it does make a more rounded edge to it. It is tricky.
Now, the black tip doesn't have a black anal fin, right?
Yeah, that doesn't hold true 100%, though.
Okay, another one of those probables.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Ray Smith Excavating, whether you want your yard reshaped, a housing development put in, a shopping mall done, if you've got dirt work and you need somebody to do it right, I've got to call Ray. I've got to backfill a seawall. My sidewalks have collapsed. I got to bust out a bunch of sidewalks and get it all backfilled. And so I'm going to be calling Ray to bring me a bunch of material here very soon. It's who I use. Who he did my yard and everything else. And it's all great. Everything Ray did was great.
Yeah.
The only thing I had was contractors I didn't know. I got to get Don Riggs. I'm going to call Don Riggs. Help, Don, again.
Right.
Because when Don Riggs does concrete, it's right.
Right.
So, yeah, I got a lot more concrete to do. But I think I'm going to make a dead man on my sidewalk because it's a slanting walkway going down.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go out to Shenango, whom we get to later. I'm going to get some rebar. I'm going to dig me a pit back up in the yard. I'm going to bust out a little bit more sidewalk than what's bad. I'm going to dig down. I'm going to talk to Rick about how far down, or Ray, or Don, one of them guys, and see how far I'd have to dig down. Then I'm going to tie that in and use it as a dead man to hold that sidewalk up. Just pour it all as a piece.
Oh, there you
go. So I'd have to rip the whole yard out to go down there. Think about if I dig down 5-6 foot, put some rebar in it, you know, tie it up, make it like a column post.
Right.
We call them dead men, but I don't know. I guess that's the right word. Old school word for it, anyway. Ray Smith in Port Charlotte Canal System. What is Ray Smith sponsoring this week?
A lot of juvenile tarpon again. That seems to be the theme. It's going to be the theme for a lot of spots. Some of the guys are actually hooking them, though. A couple guys did good on the little tiny storms, the 2 and 3 inch, and the Terrorize. And then a couple fly guys were out there just trying to cast to some of them in Spring Lake, and a bunch that were in the basin between Grassy Point and basically the beach complex. There's also been some sand brim starting to pick up a little bit more in some of those canals.
Okay. That's going to take us over to Eljabeen Pier on the Myakka River, and that is sponsored by Action Appliance. I was just there. You know, I tell y'all, go there first, because they had two of the three things I needed, and the one they didn't have, they told me where to go get it.
There you go.
And I got a pretty good price on everything too. I was real happy. So yeah, it worked again. You know, went in there and said, okay, I needed a tiny gas stove, and I wanted a little tiny refrigerator. And he told me how to run it on the inverter, and he told me everything I needed. It was exactly what I needed to do. Go there first.
Nice.
Yeah, it just, I mean, I know we all want to go to these big name stores, but I'm telling you, you're messing up. Go to Action Appliance first. And if they can't help you, like I say, two out of the three things I got, good price, no problem. But he was able to tell me, I told him what I wanted, and he told me what would work. That's key. I mean, you know, that's the one thing missing everywhere you go in. I go in, and we spend more time with somebody over a $1.60 pack of hooks than I can get when I'm talking about a $1,000 or $5,000 thing I want to get. And you know, if you buy a pack of hooks from us and you take them out and fish with it and you come back and you say this, and we'll go over it again with you.
Right.
You know, and we'll help you work it out, whether, you know, good, bad, whatever. But, God, how does this country do business anymore?
They don't.
You know.
They do about half of what they potentially could.
It's absolutely staggering the amount of stuff you can't, and the internet is the worst it's ever been, because if you go on Google or any of these other ones, the only thing that comes up are the people paying for to be there.
Mm-hmm.
We're one of the only things that comes up first that we don't pay to be there on.
Right.
Because it's been there so long and it's so big, you know, and all these other things. But
hard work.
When you literally cannot find information. I mean, but that's why I go to Action Appliance. I go to Ray Smith, go to Don Riggs, go to Shenango, people who actually work with you before you buy it and then after you own it. They will Absolutely. Help you with it. That's the critical thing to know. I think, all right, Jeff interrupted us. You didn't notice it, I don't think, but had to hit the pause button for a minute. These goofy hooks, I bought these hooks because they were unique. They were different design. And we had them up on the wall for about a year and a half. We sold one pack of hooks in a year and a half. Finally yep. said, okay, take them down, put them in a box. We'll put them out at the tent sale, put them in the discount booth at the tent sale. 3 times now since we put them in the box. We're selling more of them since they're boxed up in the warehouse than we did in the year and a half they were on the wall.
Pretty funny, huh?
I mean, how many times does this happen to us?
A lot.
Unbelievable. I just don't understand. Anyway.
You're just too hip and ahead of the times. It just takes everyone else a little while to catch up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's me. I'm a trendsetter. I mean, if you're thinking anything from 1978 is coming back, I'm probably ahead of the game.
Right.
You know,
if you dig out your polyester jumpsuit, we're going to have a problem.
Yeah, I've actually thought about that. But you're lucky Hurricane Charlie took that one. Otherwise, I had my old John Travolta suit. You know, I could have done that. All right. Anyway, the ranting about lack of help in the world. And that's why I go to places like Action Appliance. So anyway, what's going on at the Elgin Pier?
They're getting some snook off of there. Not too many legal fish, but a handful. A couple snappers started to move in, and then of course the guys are still catching a lot of Mayan cichlids that they're mistaking for the snapper. And then I've heard of a handful of redfish this week being caught off of there, while the guys are just kind of fishing on the bottom. You know, the river, I guess, like you said, it's finally below flood stage now, so it's actually kind of at a halfway normal flow. I've also heard of a few bigger tarpon still, like we talked about last week with Carl on the phone. There's some fish that are actually just on the upside of the river, cruising along the shallows and at the mouths of some of the canals there in Gulf Cove. So there's at least some activity up there. Some of the gator hunters have been up there cruising around at night, and they said it's really slow on the alligators compared to what it was last year. I think it's just because of the massive water flow. Those fish, or those gators,
they're everywhere.
They could be down on Cayo Costa kicking back going, okay, this is great. Nobody will bother me.
Yeah, I mean, the gators they're up in creeks. They're places where they, you know, they're a lot like fish where once the water comes way up, they just go everywhere.
Yeah.
Then as the water dries up, they work their way back into the rivers. But,
exactly.
You know, and the harbor's so fresh right now, as you said, they could be sitting at, you know, Cayo Costa, and they wouldn't know if they weren't in the Peace River. Okay, the Monica River area itself, which is Miata Cutoff, Cattle Dock, 14-foot oil, Jabin Ramp, Tippy Canoe, all those places there, sponsored by Murdoch Tire, which I just left there. Dad went up, he bought a car.
Yeah?
Yeah, Jim, one of Jim's customers. And it's funny because Jim doesn't sell cars, but it's like, I wanted to get rid of mine. It was too expensive to fix. I didn't really need it. So he found somebody to pay me, and they paid him that, do the repairs on it, and he made his money, and everybody's all happy.
Right.
What a guy.
There you go.
He's ordering me a new tire. He walked up and said, what's that on your truck? I said, oh, Jim.
You want to see the spare?
Yeah, I want to see the spare. So anyway, I got to go on Tuesday and get my other tire put back on. He won't spend the money for those tires on himself. He puts them on his wife's car, but he won't put them on his car. I said, well, I'll tell you, if I'm doing any road trips, traveling, and I travel in my Toyota all the time. I don't get really good gas mileage, but I can walk when I get out.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mess up my back. And so anyway, but ask him what tires are good for your car or whatever, but you'll like him. You just got to go to Murdoch Tire. Okay, another one of those things where before you buy it, they help you after you buy it, they help you. That's critical key in my world. Okay. What's going on up there? I heard the cutoff has a few small redfish.
Yeah, they've been getting some small redfish inside there. There's been a handful of small snook. A couple guys have caught a couple bigger snook trolling through there. You know, they're trolling the Rapala, the X-Rap in the 10 series. And they got a couple of fish. They trolled a couple rattle traps, but they could only pick up the little ones. Plus, there was a lot of grass rolling through there, so they got frustrated because I guess it was just getting down a little too deep for them. So they switched over to those Rapalas and did pretty well.
Yeah, we've got ordered a bunch of different Yozuris that are on the way in. Moved the wall around. We got Smithwick back up. I got to put in a couple more Rattling Rogues. I know my blue and silver one there. I got to get together with Barb and redo my Rattling Rogue stuff. And but anyway, South Gulf Cove, anything?
He did not call, but another gentleman was in, and he's just been playing around back in there trolling through his canal and hitting the main canal for a little bit. He's picking up a couple small snook, a couple juvenile tarpon, and then he's catching a lot of Mayan cichlids right off of his dock, just having a good time. He's got his grandson visiting him, so they're just basically pan fishing and having a blast. So.
All right, and until I can remember how to spell cichlids efficiently, it's C-I-C-L-I-D-S or something like that.
That's it.
Because I'm just writing Mayans, just letting you guys know. Okay, the West Wall and the... we added Trout Creek to the list, so you can kind of get an idea of where that is, because the West Wall to me kind of goes from Trout Creek down to Cape Hayes. So that's kind of the definition of the West Wall for me. Sponsored by Luigi's. Nice food, friendly atmosphere. All in all, I think you'll like it. We're trying to decide, because that's where we do the fishing club meeting. I don't know if I'm going to do the snook thing or if we're going to do the offshore thing. It's going to be a toss up, see which one I can get the pictures and the stuff put the, you know, get the script together for. We will let you know, but for right now, it will be one or the other, but
it's
I don't know.
It's going to be a surprise.
It's a surprise. It always is. Probably the only fishing meeting that I think I post the top what we're going to talk about. A lot of times it's like 5 minutes before I'm leaving, I go, oh yeah, I can talk about this and grab this and that. I think those are some of the best ones.
Personally, absolutely.
All right, the sponsored by Luigi's, the West Wall. What's going on over there?
There's a ton of snook all on the bushes, and then some under the bushes and some out on the flats. There's redfish. They're scattered up and down the entire thing. And then I've also got the guy, he was telling me that he was seeing juvenile tarpon rolling all over the place with a couple of bigger fish down towards the southern end, just north of Cape Hayes. He wasn't messing with them. He was strictly 100% snook and redfishing. He caught all of his snook and redfish, honestly, using the the Strike King, the Redfish Magic paddle tails.
Yeah.
Two colors. One was the like whitish color, and the other one was a pink. I don't think that one was the Strike King that he grabbed, but it was a pinkish color. I remember that. And he did really good the last 2 days out there. He saw a handful of pompano jump in a couple spots as he was going along, but didn't mess with them either. He was on a mission to try to just catch snook and redfish. He just wanted to have something a little bigger and a little bit more challenging to himself, I guess. He did see that there's a lot of manatees over there, so he was actually kind of idling quite often because he was more concerned about that than anything else. So I'd say pay attention to that and be careful. They are breeding this time of year, so usually if there's one, there's usually a dozen.
Yeah. Nature is very cruel.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah, cruel, cruel. All right. Cape Hayes, sponsored by Finor and the Lethal Reels and the Marquesas. Good stuff. Well worth the money. Durable, reliable, good finish. They did a good job with the Lethal and the Marquesas. Finor sponsoring Cape Hayes. What's going on Cape Hayes?
Honestly, I've only heard about the snook right up against the shoreline between Muddy Bay and Turtle Bay. Other than that, it's been pretty quiet over there, so just haven't had much for reports.
Alright, that's going to take us into the wide world of Penn. Yeah, is it raining, I think?
It kind of sounded like it. It's like yeah, some big raindrops hit for a second and
we've
stopped.
We've got a tropical system coming up from Cuba and 40% chance of development, but the way the models are looking, they don't think it's going to be a tropical storm before it hits Florida. After it leaves Florida, it might turn into a tropical storm.
Right.
But we're just going to get a lot of rain out of it. You know, it's funny. Usually the Weather Channel is pretty non-committal, but they've gone a bit liberal lately. You know, they're part of NBC, so you can't believe it. I believe them on the weather. I don't believe anything else they say. But they're downplaying storms. Oh, it's going to be okay. This is nothing. You know, don't worry about it. Before Harvey, Maria, you know, what was the name of the one that hit us?
Irma.
Before all them, you know, any little thing, boy, they were like, this is the, you know, the storms and rip currents and this and that. Oh, and it's just horrible. And it's, oh, my God. And I think they pushed it too far with Irma. And I think they finally learned, okay, let's be realistic, you know. And for an NBC, being realistic, any part of NBC being realistic, I got to give them credit for that. At least they backed off. They're acting like real humans now, you know. You know, I will take the word on the weather yet.
That's about it.
The problem with people is they don't understand once a news organization shows biased for or against any political group, person, or anything, you can no longer trust anything else they say. Because when you show biased on one thing, how do we know the story that they're talking about here isn't biased? Or augmented to fit their narrative. That's what they don't get. I don't mind if somebody's liberal or conservative or whatever. I'm an independent. I want to hear all sides. But when you prove to be biased in one thing, I can no longer trust your opinion on other things. Right. Because, if you tell me the sun's up, I got to go out and look now because I can't be sure. Because you might be just saying that to fit your narrative. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It could still be dark out. You know, and that's what none of them get. We don't want news medias that are biased for or against anybody. We want them right down the middle. Tell us what's going on. Tell us what's good and what's bad about it. But don't fit your narrative. That's just god-awful. Like I'm doing right now. I should be just talking fishing.
Should be.
Should be, and I will be.
Roll with it.
Yeah. So, Bull Bay and Turtle Bay, I got nothing. I haven't heard anything about it.
Inside, I haven't heard much, but there's been a lot of activity out on the front side between Turtle Bay and basically Devilfish. Guys are catching some redfish there, some pompano, some snook, and a handful of trout. So, I think we got a lot of fish moving around that are starting to, not the river's starting to slow down, the salinity is actually making it into that lower end of the harbor a little bit more. So I think it's getting things a little bit fired up. And all the redfish that were caught down there that I heard about were all oversized fish, like in that 28 to 32 inch range. No real giants, but bigger than average, which is always a good thing.
Yep. Okay. I guess if I put the... Okay, there. Snook is not S-O-N.
Right?
My fingers just don't work at all. I don't know what that's wrong with me. Too many rants, not enough concentration. Okay, I will get better. Like heck.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Too late. All right, Cape Hayes Reef.
honestly, I haven't heard a thing at all this week.
Yeah, it was amazing. We were writing all kinds of stuff about that for a long time, and then all of a sudden, just boom.
That's like
where
switch.
That's where the history pages will really help you. Where it says fishing history, I'm trying to get them cleaned up. They're a little disorganized at the moment, but each one of these places, I've got whatever fishing reports we were able to save for different years, and you go by and you look by the month, like at Bull Bay or Turtle Bay or Cape Hayes Reef, and you can see which months were where the fishing was good there. So you can add it to your things, and when you see month or week after week of nothing going on, year after year, you know, well, that's maybe not worth checking out at that time of year. But this time of year, hey, I want to stop there. You know, it can help you, and if you're plan on vacation in Florida, look at the history pages to see which places are good while you're going to be here. That's why we saved them, so that when you're up north, and we appreciate you coming to Florida, we love our tourists and our visitors from all over the world. For those of you listening in Germany, you know, Patriot Heil, but that's the reason those fishing history pages are there. So if you're thinking, boy, I'd really like to fish Bull Turtle Bay, you go back and you look year after year after year, month after month, and see what months are good there. Okay, Gasparilla Sound and the Tailing Flats. This is kind of a one place where it's usually pretty good.
Yeah, it has been fairly consistent. There's been some ladyfish and trout scattered all over on the flats in that whole area from Devilfish all the way basically to Catfish Creek. Been hearing some mixed reports of some bigger redfish out in the same vicinities in that open flats and deeper sand holes. And then there's been quite a few snook of assorted sizes and quite a few legal fish being caught right there at the mouth of Whidden and Catfish Creek. And then a couple guys are seeing even a few sharks here and there cruising around. They haven't seen exactly what they were, but they've seen a couple sizable fish cruising through there. So it's not bad at all. It wouldn't surprise me if the Spanish Macs have been moving in and out, but the guys probably aren't going out quite deep enough for them. They're just staying up in that little bit skinnier water. Just haven't heard anything, so just theory.
Gotcha. Placida Pier in the Placida Trestle. I mean, the place, the bomb. It's another spot. It's always worth kind of checking out around there. I haven't heard of a lot.
Literally only one thing that I've been hearing about there.
Hang on just a minute. I'm going to talk to my dad. Okay, we're at the Placida Pier, Placida Trestle, and sorry, we had a bit of a thing there. My dad called, and the cool part about it is she asked me a question, does reverse osmosis take out salt? And we have reverse osmosis here at the store. I have it at my house. Bill Certain from Certain Waters, he's a sponsor of Freshwater thing on here. I just called him and said, hey, Bill, what does this work and that work? And it's so cool to have, you know.
To know people.
Yeah, to know the guy who knows all the water questions, you know. And that's Bill Certain from Certain Water and Certain Plumbing. C-E-R-T-A-I-N. Okay. They find his thing. He's on the Freshwater one right down towards the bottom of the page. We'll talk about that later. Placida Pier, what's going on out there?
Honestly, the only thing I've heard about has been pompano. Been quite a few pompano being caught off the trestle and the boaters around the trestle and the Causeway Bridge and the next bridge down by Gasparilla. Other than that, I have not heard of anything else.
Which is a little and white and yellow and white, right?
Yes. Yep. And they've been using mostly like the 3/8 and 1/2 ounce, a little deeper water around those bridges, so getting it down there closer to the bottom seems to be a little more productive with the heavier ones.
Stump Pass, Lemon Bay Park, anything going on out there?
I have not heard anything out there, to be honest.
Yeah. All right. The Englewood Pier, the Tom Adams Bridge, the Anger Pier, sponsored by Custom Sight and Sound. They're up in Venice. It's they sell TVs and they sell all the home theater system stuff. And, you know, if you're looking to make a movie theater out of your room, give these guys a call. Or if you just need help making everything sound right. and good people. Give them a call. It's Julio and the gang up there. Amazing folks. So anyway, and your pier?
I've been a few snook being caught there at night. And then during the daytime, I've heard of a couple of mangrove snapper, a couple of redfish, and ladyfish. Yeah, it's been a little steadier there for some reason than on the island. Not sure why. I think because there's so much debris, and heck, you can't go north of Blind Pass because the road is closed. Got washed out half of it, that's what I was told.
Yeah, Google... on the very latest Google Maps, Google Earth has a very, very recent satellite photos. It shows the tree down in my canal. It shows a lot of the storm damage.
Nice.
But if you're looking at it with the overview, you see the most recent one. If you go to the street view, you see one that's several years old.
Gotcha.
You've got to stay on the overall satellite view because they haven't redone the street views. It's just like if you go look at the Fort Myers one, it shows our Fort Myers store and all the Ingman Marine boats and all the rest of that stuff. Yep, it's all there. But if you go to street view, it shows it as the old Sunoco gas station.
Nice.
Yeah, it's funny as heck. All right, American Fishing Wire, the best stuff. You know, amazing, cool stuff, all right?
And just good people.
The best people on the planet. There is, I mean, American Fishing Wire, you don't get any better people than this. They like independent retailers, and they deal with every major store in the world, and they still help support us independents. So when you're out looking for stuff, look for the American Fishing Wire or High Seas label. Good stuff. Support those people. What's going on in the Gulf of Mexico?
Well, it's been not too bad, depending on who you talk to. Fishing seems to be better north of Boca Grande Pass, like up towards Stump Pass, Inglewood Beach area. Palm Island Ferry is inundated with a lot of Goliath grouper right now.
Where is that?
The Palm Island Ferry.
Oh.
A lot of barracuda and a lot of big Goliaths / jewfish. As you work your way out of Gasparilla Pass heading out towards Novak, it's still very dark water, but they're catching some cudas, a few small snapper. I've heard of a couple permit being out there off and on. And then going out about 15 to 20 miles out of Gasparilla Pass, you start to run into a little bit cleaner water. You got to go out closer to almost 20 out of Boca Grande Pass before you start to see pretty good clean water. Mangrove snapper doing good. Lane snapper doing really good in the 1 to 2 pound range. And a handful of red grouper. Magic number seems to be around that 60 feet of water mark. A handful of guys are running into kings, but they're sporadic. One guy I'll see a bunch of them and hook into a couple. Other guys are not seeing any. Same with bonita and the Spanish mackerel. And the Spanish mackerel seem to vary from 8 miles out to 25 miles out, depending on the bait situation, I guess. Because one guy cleans house on them, another guy's, I caught one or two. So it's not bad out there. It's just picking and choosing your days with the lighter winds and getting out there and being prepared to see a little darker water than what you're used to.
I don't know why. I spell barracuda B-A-R-A-C-U-D-A, and it's wrong. I'll find out.
I don't
click
remember.
The button here. B A R R A C U D A.
Gotcha.
Whoa.
That was cute.
That was the spell check going off. B A R R. Barracuda. Barracuda.
It's not how Ann and Nancy Wilson pronounce it.
Yeah. And I'm going to say, yeah. The guitar player or one of the two could pronounce it any way she wanted.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they could.
The other one's got the best voice in the world, but boy. So, anyway,
Next.
Yeah, next. I don't need to go there. You're supposed to be saving me here. All right. I'm old, you know. Okay. I just had a moment there. It was just a moment.
You know. It's all twinkle in your eye. It was time to get you back on track.
Yeah. God, I wish it had twinkle. Okay. Anyway, you know, my age tinkles about all you get.
Next.
Okay. Tsunami Shield Reels and Rods is sponsoring The Passes. And The Passes is Redfish, Captiva, Boca, Little Gasparilla Stump, or Venice. Anything going on anywhere?
Boca Grande and Captiva are still cleaning house right now. Boca Grande's got a lot of redfish. Well, Captiva for that matter, too. But Boca Grande's been real heavy with also Pompano. Mixed in with all those redfish. They're catching them from the shore, from the around the oil docks, and also around the phosphate dock. A lot of small snook, especially on the inside of Boca Grande, right there around the condos, the swallow houses, whatever you want to call them. And then Captiva Pass has got a lot of snook hanging out both on the beaches in the pass and just on the inside, on the backside of Captiva Island and Cayo Costa. There's a good amount of fish that they're catching down there. I've had also a couple of mixed reports of some flounder on both of those passes. And out in the center of Boca Grande, there's been some bigger tarpon rolling in the pass. Nobody's fishing for them, but I was watching them roll all over the place on Sunday. And then there's a ton of little tarpon just inside, closer to the Boca Grande shoreline, from basically the oil docks all the way up as far as you can see past the phosphate dock. And I've heard of a few tarpon being seen down around the Captiva Pass area also. So it's not too bad. I just haven't heard about any of the other passes north or south of there. If there's pompano showing up in that pass, they got to be starting to show up in some of the other ones. That just happens to be the first place they've been found so far, so doing pretty good on them.
Okay. I got that. Okay. If we're going to go out walking the beaches, Shield Rod and Reels, by the way, I do like them. Like as I said before, wasn't sure, but yes, I do. Okay. Walking the Gulf beaches anywhere along, anywhere.
Honestly, Boca Grande's the only one I've heard about. Guys are catching a few pompano right along the beach in the surf line. A couple of redfish in the early mornings and the evenings. A lot of ladyfish moving in and out of there. Even a couple Spanish mackerel. A couple guys have seen flounder. Couldn't catch them, but they've seen them. I was playing with a little flounder the other day. He couldn't swallow the bait, but he kept grabbing it. And I'd drag him up into 6 inches of water and he'd swim away. And I'd get him to take it again. It was kind of fun. Did that like 4 times with him.
Yeah.
He was about 10 inches long. He just couldn't quite get that bait buster in his mouth well enough. Just enough to hold on to it. That was it.
I was doing the same thing with some little sharks a while back. I was taking the bait and dipping it in and letting them hit it. And they're just slicing the surface of the water, just slashing after that bait. And I'm just bouncing it. As they come up, right as they open their mouth to get it, I pick it up, drop it on their head.
Nice.
Slap them with it. Like, what do you think you're doing? Here, there's a boat here, stupid. Bang.
That's funny. All right,
Punarassa, Sanibel.
I honestly have not heard of anything down there.
Okay. Clusatchee River.
Very much crickets.
Matt Lachey,
now you're talking. Redfish. Been a good number of redfish being caught on around immediate vicinity around Matt Lachey. Quite a few oversized fish, handful of smaller ones. They're catching them mostly on shrimp. Handful of guys are catching them on cut bait, like cut ladyfish, cut mullet, and then cut sardines have also been working really good on them too. Talking to the shrimper, and she said some of her shrimp guys have been talking about a lot of their redfish that they've been running into out there, and their buddies have been doing pretty well on all the way around in that area. Nobody's mentioned snook or trout, but they're excited about the redfish.
Pine Island Sound, sponsored by Reaper Rods.
that's been pretty good too. There's been redfish and snook basically from Jug Creek all the way down to just south of the Captiva Rocks, fishing any of those little islands there. Was it Rat Key was one of the keys that a guy mentioned. And they've also been catching some trout and some mangrove snapper and along some of those deeper channels, and seeing a handful of tarpon here and there, but nobody's catching many of them. Pinfish have been working good if you can find them. They've been a little tricky the past couple days for some reason. And then, of course, shrimp.
Alright, what about Jug Creek Shoal, sponsored by JT Custom Pools? And what is Jason Tari sponsoring at this point?
One of his more favorite fish. There's been some redfish being caught right in the immediate vicinity of there, along with a handful of snook, a couple trout. And they've also been getting into the...
Shit, what's happening, man? Hang on. This brings us over to where Two Pines is. Burnt Store, sponsored by Shimano. Yes, you can buy the Shimano reels and feel good about it. The CI4 is back, being a nice reel. Got some other good products. We're looking at some of the rods this year, too. See what we can do with Shimano in a bigger, brighter venue. Burnt Store, Two Pines. A lot of little snook over by Two Pines.
A lot of redfish, too. Redfish are starting to move in pretty good down there along those deeper deeper buckets under the mangroves down there. And then also down there by the wading flats, I guess, south of Burnt Store, where everyone likes to wade. They're getting a good assortment of snook, mostly small. And then the redfish are starting to show up there too. And then the pompano have also started to move along the outside edge of the bar, literally from Burnt Store down to Two Pines. So, good mixed variety of stuff. Even a handful of juvenile tarpon again that I'm still hearing about down that vicinity. Haven't heard of any of the big ones, but still plenty of the juveniles. That's kind of an ongoing thing.
Yeah. And let's see. That's going to move us up to the east side. And the east side is sponsored by Akuma, who again has some really nice stuff. Shadow Stalker rods, the Azor reel, the Samar. Got some good stuff.
Yeah.
Kuma's got some good stuff. He's going to be here this week. We're going to go over what we're going to carry this year. This time of year is when we do our buying. And like I say, we're going to be expanding out our Shimano. We're going to see what we can do with the Akuma here, too. Because better stuff. I mean, and for once, they're doing something in better product, and they're not going crazy with the price on it.
Right.
When Akuma first came out, it was good stuff at a better than average price. And then they went to kind of good stuff at a regular to high price. And then it was okay stuff at a high price. And now they're kind of getting back to the basics of where they were when they started. Good product at a better than average price. So, things are working out for Akuma. All right. Everybody has their highs and lows. I mean, geez.
Everyone rides that top of that wave, and then everyone gets crushed by it every now and then.
Yeah, you got to be careful when you're surfing the crest of the wave, because one step forward or back, you misbalance the board, and you go crashing into the wave. You're not on top no more. And, boy, we've seen every company do it so far.
Every one of them.
There's not one company I can think of that made it to the top and was able to stay there. Mm-mm. I think
all they do is watch Shimano, boxing or UFC. There's not the same winner all the time. Eventually somebody comes along that's tougher than you. It's going to wipe you out.
Yeah. Shimano held it for quite a while. But then Toyo Shimano actually retired, and then they all went right down in the garbage. And Akuma for a while was on top. Even Silstar, Zebco, Penn, Quantum. Quantum lasted, what, about 3 years?
No, that's a longer. They had about a good 4 or 5 year wave there.
Yeah, they ran top of the heap for
about four, because then they blew it they got rid of the.
It was about 4 years. They had 3 or 4 years. 3 years they were just couldn't be touched, and then fourth year, and then all of a sudden, boom, then came the crash. And this is Penn's third time on top.
Yep.
And because at one point, we'd thrown Penn out of the store. We wouldn't even have them in the store. They were just not good reels. And there was no reason to carry Penn. They were...
Is this an Okuma ad or a Penn ad?
What's that?
Is this an Okuma ad or a Penn ad?
Well, it's just kind of an in general thing. I mean, you know, it's just funny how at certain times you don't even want a product in the store. They get so bad, and then all of a sudden somebody takes over the company and they start putting stuff back, and now all of a sudden Penn's the number one reel in the world. I mean, nobody touches Penn.
Right.
Nobody's even close. And to go back just a few years ago, where we wouldn't even have them in the store.
Exactly.
You know, and that's why when people get hung up on brands, like, okay, I only want to buy a Kuma.
What's the best dollar value?
Yeah, or I only want to buy Shimano. I only want to buy Penn. I only want to buy this one. You got to temper that with, during this time period, they're the best. And then they fall down, they cheapen the product, they raise the price, they do whatever, and they mess it all up. And I think that's the big takeaway from this is, how can this reel be good, and how can you advertise for this reel and that reel and say this one's good and that one's good? Because everybody has some good and bad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And usually at one point, this point in history, Penn's number one. But Akuma's making a comeback from when they were top of the heap, went down, kind of crashed and burned, and now they're making it, they're coming back up.
Yeah.
So it's another one to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's a very reasonable, very fair ad to, you know, to say,
they're
keep
climbing
an eye
back
on
up
them.
That wave.
Yeah, they're doing good. You know, I think people would rather hear that than, oh, yeah, this is wonderful, that's wonderful, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Okay. The East Side of the Harbor, sponsored by Okuma. What's going on?
A lot of scattered redfish, mostly out on the flats and some of those little tiny keys or islands. Guys are catching a lot of them on frozen shrimp and cut ladyfish. And then the little johns have gotten real popular this week with guys pitching those. The handful of snook, most of the snook over there on the smaller side. And then I'm hearing of a few trout here and there, but they're mostly on the smaller side also. And then some pompano have been starting to pop up down as you get closer towards Pirate Harbor area. They're staying out on the outside edge of the bar in that 3 feet of water, kind of their normal haunt when they move over there. Guys are catching those on shrimp while drifting along, trying to find some trout under popping corks and just pitching them out, drifting along. And then just also catching them on some spoons. So there's a little bit of activity over there. It's definitely picking up significantly. The weird part is, I have not heard of a single bonnet head in several weeks over there.
It's early. Usually we got to get a cold front before we really hear a lot about them.
Yeah, but you usually hear of a couple here and there, and it's been literally weeks.
I think
weeks.
It's just too hot. It's too hot. They like that cooler weather to get really active.
Yeah.
I think they might go deep.
Yeah. That's possible. Move out to the center of the harbor.
Yeah, and when the flats cool down a bit, they come back and scatter across the flats. Alligator Creek, sponsored by Acline HR. They do all my payroll, bookkeeping, HR, the whole bet, workman's comp. They take care of everything, and they're very responsible. And if they make a mistake, it's on them. They take responsibility for what they do, and that's the best thing you can say about them. Don't know if they're more expensive or less expensive than anybody else, but I can tell you they're worth it. That's personal first-hand experience for someone who's been through a few different companies. All right. Alligator Creek.
Some jacks and some juvenile tarpon. That's about it. It's been pretty slow over there and quiet. So many people are dealing with some of the seawalls that went down there and burnt store aisles.
I did add the skating rink to this.
Oh, there you
go. Have you heard anything in the skating rink?
A couple of redfish, but nothing super exciting yet. It's been...
Yeah, I put up a page for the skating rink.
That works. That'll be a good one to have people check out and really look at thoroughly.
Yeah, least it shows them where it's at. I couldn't get too specific. I haven't been there to get pictures of it lately, but I will. This is nearing, getting closer to the end here. Let's see. Ponce de Leon Park, sponsored by Shenango Supply. And great people. If you need something, a pressure cleaner, a lawnmower, whatever. You know, it's funny. I didn't recognize the name of the pressure cleaner he sold me because I just thought it was some off-brand. Mine's still running, and the guy who bought, my friend who bought his up at the big box store, his quit a long time ago. Mine's still working. I was using it this morning. Turns out it's the one in this, I'm seeing ads for them on TV all the time about the home generators. I forget the name of them.
Something tech.
Yeah, something. I don't know. But it was funny because I had no idea they made pressure washers or anything. And I was thinking, well, Rick just sold me some off-brand thing, because he's really good at finding these brands that make great products, but you don't have to pay for the name.
Right.
And so, I mean, Morris, I told him, I said, yeah, this is the lawnmower. This thing just, he's got a big yard. He went from 4 hours cutting time to an hour and a half-ish. I mean, cut it down less than half with that mower he got from Shenango. So, same size deck, just much better unit.
All right. Okay.
So, anyway, Shenango Supply. We were talking about something with them earlier, and I don't remember what it was.
For your dead men.
Oh, yeah, I got to talk to Rick about that. I get rebar from them and all that. Whenever I do big construction projects, I used to do a lot of contracting work. It was just easy to go to Rick and get everything. You know, if you're a contractor and doing work here locally, you'll be good friends with Rick because they have real construction stuff there. If you want to do stuff for your home, you know, that's fine, but this is a real construction store supply place. So, for some reason or another, my house always takes these construction size, you know, I gotta have rebar. I mean, it's not like, okay, put a little wire in it, you know. I don't know why that is.
Right.
Yeah. God, why can't I have a normal thing? All right, anyway, Shenango Supply and Ponce de Leon Park, what's going on?
They've been getting a few snapper there. They've been starting to move back in a little bit more. A few snook, mostly on the smaller side again. A couple of legal fish have been caught with guys trolling through there, but right off the dock, not too much. And then right out front, in front of Ponce there on the sandbar, working your way kind of towards the wildlife sanctuary there. Couple of the wade fishermen making a couple of redfish, a couple of small snook, even a couple incidental little trout. So it's not bad. You know, mostly on shrimp. A couple guys are doing good on soft plastics, like the little cowl shad tails. Little quarter ounce or 3/8 ounce jig head, because the current could get ripping through there pretty good, so you gotta get down a little deeper.
Puts us into the PGI canal systems. What's going on back in the PGI canals?
If you work the docks real slow and thoroughly, they are catching some legal sized snook off of them. Most of the guys that are catching those are actually kind of vertical jigging once again with those cowl shad tails. A couple guys are doing okay with some rattle traps and bombers and slow trolling along the docks. But they're trying to get it down a little bit deeper and work it a little bit slower for those bigger legal fish. And then there's also a bunch of juvenile tarpon swimming around and teasing the anglers along with some black drum, but they've not been very cooperative this week, just kind of showing themselves but not feeding real heavy. So it's not bad. A couple guys said they're starting to see their snook lights a little bit better in the backyard. So that tells you it's clearing up just a tiny bit. They said it's nowhere near glowing, but they can start to see a little hint of that light again.
Yeah, I was, you know, I've got some snook lights from my place. I was going to put some on. I said, why am I bothering? I'm not going to see them anyway.
Right.
You know, the water's so dark up there yet. But the weird thing is the mud's coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear,
settled
brown water. That's really strange. Gilcrest pier.
Crickets. Very much crickets.
Okay. Alligator Creek Reef, sponsored by Mick Grady, the Allstate insurance guy, over there in Ponta Gorda, your old buddy, pal guy. If you're coming to Florida and you need insurance, give Mick a call. nice part about it is you have somebody you can actually walk in and talk to. I can tell you, buying all this stuff over the internet and calling one of these places and you got nobody to talk to, it sucks.
Yeah.
Our insurance adjuster for our house insurance is in California. And this guy's a wingnut.
That's a good spot for them.
What's that?
So that's a good spot for them.
I mean, the wind was blowing 10 miles an hour. I have a stilt house and I have decks, and then I have a widow's walk up on the top, a upper porch, which connects to the roof. You just go over, step over the handrail, and you're on the roof. And, no, you can't go up there. You could blow off. I'm like, but it's 10 mile an hour wind. It's like a breeze. Are you getting blown over standing here? Well, you can't do that. It's geez, talk about a snowflake. And this is the guy we got to, you know, deal with to get our insurance money for the house. Oh, my God. Yeah, all right. So, anyway, it's kind of, I feel like, yeah. So, I'm on a rant today. All right. Just dealing with all this storm cleanup and...
It wears on you.
Yeah, the money for trying to get the repairs and stuff. You pay this stuff in, and then they fight you to get it. All right, so Alligator Creek Reef, anything out there?
There's been a couple of cobia hooked up out there, but nobody landed any. And then a couple guys have hooked into a couple of small bull sharks. And, of course, once again, lots of little tarpon rolling around all over it. Not too many people hooking them, but definitely seeing plenty of them and trying to hook them in the process. Other than that, I haven't heard much else bottom fish-wise. It's kind of quiet there with that. Like you said, with the water clearing up and everything else, you'll probably start to hear a few more reports here.
Yeah. Okay, CETO is going to sponsor the deep holes in Charlotte Harbor. What's going on in deep holes in the harbor?
A lot of catfish, the occasional Spanish mackerel, and then a lot of tarpon being seen. Most of them are all small. There's been a couple of big fish hooked up, but they were literally caught while drifting. Nobody saw them. They just hooked them as they were drifting along looking for stuff. Those ate ladyfish. Rick, who's one of the guys over there in the PGI Fishing Club, he's like the diehard tarpon nut. And right. He's been catching one a day.
All right. If you're going to go out looking for baits, I haven't had any bait reports. I have no idea what to say in here.
The only bait reports I've heard about is a lot of small stuff out along the beaches. Nothing inside at all. And most of the stuff on the beaches has been on the smaller side, like probably not even worth cast netting, even with a quarter-inch net.
Especially you know, stuff have you heard I anything about ladyfish?
Ladyfish has been scattered around but not wadded up in their big balls the way they should be. They're just scattered on the
any best bet.
I would go on the Lower East Side there down towards Pirate Harbor or down towards the radio tower on the west wall and just drift that flat area there. I would also probably go over there by the Phosphate Dock area and the Boca Bay docks, as we were catching quite a few of them standing right on the shore right there by the Phosphate Dock, casting over that way. And those were mostly on the smaller side, which were like perfect snook bait, but it was too early in the day for those snook there. Hence the reason why the ladyfish were hanging out.
Let's talk about freshwater. Bill Certain, Certain Water Supplies, great guy. And, you know, he put the things in here to keep our shiners alive and all that. He's put in a super mega carbon something filter for my whole house and reverse osmosis thing in my refrigerator because as you get older you always get your health concerns and breathing and taking a shower and breathing in that chloramine and all that other kind of stuff, and there's just water's kind of important. Really important. And so, you know, whether you're trying to deal with keeping your bait alive like we are, and then that led me into, like, if it's making my bait sick, what's that doing to me? So now I can tell you the best part about it is the coffee tastes great.
A lot better.
And the one thing I've noticed, though, and before we had all this stuff put in at the house, and now it's it's not cheap. It's not ridiculous, but it's not cheap. But every once in a while in the shower, I could smell like the chlorine, you know, the chemical smell. And every once in a while, you know, in random times, you'd almost, like, I could get a hint of almost like mold or something like that. You know, that weird smell in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Not mold, but I don't know how to describe
musty.
It. Musky. Musty, yeah. And it wasn't like strong, but it was a hint of it. And you're thinking, geez, I still got something on me, you know, I'm soaping up trying to get it in. And it, I think, and I haven't had any of that. Since I've had this system come in, it's just water. You don't notice it. It's just water. And the coffee's amazing. Literally amazing.
Nice.
And no, I don't think it helped my hair.
Okay.
No.
I was getting ready to go there.
Yeah, you asked me about that. I've been paying attention for the last little while. I don't think it made a difference on my hair.
Just the coffee. That's all that matters.
But the coffee was the important thing. So I literally have the best coffee on the planet because I don't care what they say. Coffee's coffee. It's the water makes a difference. So anyway, what's going on freshwater?
Basically, the big thing has been the Mayan cichlids. Guys are really targeting the Mayan cichlids because they seem to be a little bit more cooperative. Northport Canals, Rotunda, South Gulf Cove. Those are where I've had my most positive reports. And then the bass fishing is starting, well, has been doing fairly good for the last week, mostly around the spill dams and the culvert pipes. Not great numbers, but better quality fish, it seems like. There's still so much water out there. I think those bluegill are kind of hiding out in some of that, the places where they normally can't get to, because I just haven't heard much about them.
Okay. Tarpon report.
Oh yeah, this is a fun one. They're
drifting ladyfish in the deep holes.
Yeah, you're just blind fishing and hoping. You know, guys are catching a couple here and there, and then there's, you know, I saw the bunch in the past, but nobody was fishing them at all. It boggled me. I mean, I saw, I don't know, and in 2.5 hours, I saw at least 100 fish out in the pass. It looked like good-sized fish and not a single boat drifting the pass. But ladyfish would definitely be my major choice. And then the juveniles are everywhere. It's just trying to peg them in, but it's not fun. Great frustration.
Cool. I'm not going to change the tarpon map, I don't think. The only bigger tarpon we've heard about is in the pass and down around the bottom end of Pine Island, Sanibel.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's still fairly accurate.
Okay, we'll hold with that then. So anyway, that brings us to the end of our fishing report. Anything... The river, the water's getting clearer, but it's still stained very brown.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for that new lure, like you're finding fish and they're not hitting, try pink.
Try pink.
Pink and white.
Pink and white.
Pink and something, or pink. Make sure it's, but that's for the next week or two anyway. I think the river's been flowing so long, most of the runoff is gone through, and we're just having water. All the loose soil's been out.
Yeah.
And so the water's coming down. It's still brown, but it is much clearer. It's dark coffee, deep stained coffee, but there's no mud in it right now. So start switching to pink for a little while. As the water gets cleared up, you might be able to stay with it, but chances are you're going to have to switch. But for right now, whether it's a jerk bait, a bottom bait, a crank bait, whatever, start looking at pink.
Yeah, pink or electric chicken. We've been selling quite a few electric chicken hard baits the past couple days.
Well, electric chicken is pink and green.
Yeah, it has a pink on it. I'm just saying don't ignore that.
Now, electric chicken's a great color. Or like the Bomber Texas chicken with the pink and yellow, or the pink and chartreuse and the white.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else we need to go over?
Keep your eye out for those big schools of reds. They're starting to move in. They just haven't settled into their normal haunts, so guys are seeing them and catching them in a lot of obscure places. You know, I'd just be ready for them, because when they show up, you're going to have a really good time, but you got to be ready for them because they aren't staying still.
Okay. I'm scrolling down through all this stuff to get so I could load that fishing report, if I could find it. This is where alphabetical things come in handy.
Yeah, knowing imagine that.
You know, R's before one of the other letters.
Yeah.
Or after.
Same difference.
Yeah. So, anyway, fishing report is loaded. We don't have to worry about losing that. So, all right. I guess that's about it for this week. We're going to try and get back on with more stuff. The storm, while not causing a lot of damage, was very disruptive. And trying to get all this stuff back up. We were just kind of getting settled into and getting our routines going. And we are going to work on getting all that going again. But it's hard, even while we're sort of on a schedule, a lot of the people we get reports from are still dealing with stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had several customers in this week that just stopped in to get a couple things to fish behind their house while they were waiting for an adjuster to show up or this, that, or the other thing. So it's still, people are still a little discombobulated.
This was a stress storm.
Plus mentally.
This was a stress storm.
Exactly.
You know, some of the places like Naples, Chokoloskee, Everglades, even parts of Miami and all that. I mean, the Keys, it got devastated. South Carolina got beat up real bad. Georgia got its butt kicked by Irma.
Even the whole central part of Florida, which gets overlooked. I mean, Immokalee got destroyed.
Yeah, Immokalee got some really rough stuff.
And it's sad, you know. But for us, unfortunately, we went through Charlie.
I can't imagine.
So we're not trying to seem like it's any worse, any better, whatever. But mentally, what it did to us just sucked.
Yeah, it was a really rough pill to take, thinking that everything was going to be gone again.
Yeah.
But you know, these snowflakes out there, and they're complaining because it's taking days to get to different places. You know,
their yard debris. They're complaining about their yard debris, and it's like, are you kidding me?
I have this mound of yard debris in front of my house, and
they're moving metric tons of it a day.
Just on regular garbage can yard waste picks up. Those guys, just the truck that comes to my house picked up 40 tons in 2 days. These are mammoth undertaking. And then there's islands and everything else. And I mean, Texas got it, Florida got it, Georgia got it, South Carolina got it. They got wildfires out west. There's towns that are being burned out west, homes being destroyed. We've got islands that were hit by Category 1 and then Category 5s, and there's just, and it's everywhere.
And people are worried about 5 palm fronds in their front yard that have been there for 2 weeks? Really?
Yeah.
It's, come on, find a different hobby.
Yeah. You know, it's okay to have storm debris in your yard.
Be grateful that we still have something. You know, be grateful that we didn't get hurt, you know?
Yeah. I honestly tell you, I don't watch any of the news anymore. I've cut off entirely. I won't read Facebook. I go on, I post my fishing stuff. I look to see if there's any messages from friends or whatever, and I get off. Yeah. I'm cutting myself off. I'm not going to listen to any of it because it's too maddening. I mean, I am so happy. My roof got tore up. I got water in the attic. We got, you know, wet ceilings and stuff like that. But the house is there.
Yeah. You still have a place to sleep.
My sidewalks collapsed, so I got to bust all the concrete out, dig them up, backfill them, do all that. It's just some work. It's a little bit of work, a little bit of money, but the insurance won't cover it because they don't do that. You know, I mean, insurance companies, what are you going to do?
Right.
But you rant a little bit, you have a good time with it, and you just do it.
Exactly.
But, yeah, I don't know.
Just anyway, be safe and be kind to your neighbors.
And I gotta
go fish.
This is the best time to take some time and go fishing right now, because it is an amazing transitional water period.
What was that?
A lot of fish out there. Transitional. I said transitional. I didn't say in transition. That's your line. I said we're not going to use that anymore.
Okay.
What I'm talking about transitional is from the muddy water to the dark, clear stained water.
And the temperature is dropping, too.
And the temperature's dropping, and there's no boats out there.
Right.
You can find a whole shoreline to fish all by yourself.
Right.
If you go out on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or a Thursday right now.
Unless you're fishing from shore by the phosphate dock.
Yeah, there's getting to be clusters of people figuring out that the fishing is pretty good right now. And if you were able to put up with us, my ranting and all that, you know, to get to this part, it's good out there. The secret is the fishing's good and nobody's going. So get in, if you got a chance, go out and do it now before, you know, word's going to get out.
Right.
And
absolutely.
Then everything will get crowded again. But for right now, it's paradise.
Perfect.
All right. So anyway, boys and girls, let's see. I know I got to do something to get us out of this. And here it is, what you've been waiting an hour and 15 minutes to hear. You're done with us. You're not put up with us anymore or less. Okay. Frank, Fishing Frank and Chair Robert and Chair Crossmas. Thanks for putting up again with another Radio Fishing. And I will promise to rant less this time as well. So, I didn't say I was going to quit. I promised I'd do it less.
Right.
Okay. Anyway. I guess that's it. Anything else I should say?
Nope, we're good.
You want to say goodbye?
Goodbye.
I guess that's it.